Hey, everyone. This is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. We are in Florida still. Pastor Kyle's home in New Jersey. Are we ever going home? We're going home, right? We're eventually going home. We're gonna be going home, but hey, we're gonna keep doing our social distancing. We're gonna continue to do the right things during this global pandemic.
It doesn't even matter where we're at. We just at home.
Yeah, this is true. As long as everybody. Well, now it seems like things are starting to loosen up a little bit.
Just a tiny bit.
Some places are going to start to open. Some places are not. By the way, for all those people who look on social media and like to take shots at Florida, we're not anywhere near Jacksonville. However, some of those photos of Jacksonville were fake. They weren't actual. People weren't actually on the beach. I don't know why that this is a thing. Why people like to. Put up fake photos and go, look at all those people in Jacksonville. It actually wasn't them. There was like a drone showing actual footage and people were not out there like crazy. I do see a lot of people doing the right things and I hope everyone out there is staying safe, doing all the right things, and eventually we can all get together and really move on with our lives. But we do have a very special episode for you this week. We have two guests on, UCLA running back Joshua Kelly and Tulane wide receiver Darnell Mooney. Now, this is supposed to be, and it will be, the biggest week of their lives because those two players, along with many other college kids, are going to realize their NFL dream this weekend. And as I talk to both players, and I've talked to a lot of college kids over the past couple weeks for so many pre-draft stories that I've been working on. And I would ask them, each one, and you'll hear the interviews coming up, but how they've been handling this global pandemic and how it's really deprived them of the true draft process because they can't visit teams and they can't go to different cities and they can't see the facilities and meet the coaches and the staffs, and everything had to be done virtually. So it's an entirely different process. They're not, the first round picks are not going to be in Vegas where the draft was going to be held. They're going to be doing it out of their homes. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is going to be announcing it out of his basement. So it's going to be a totally different process. But it struck me that all of these guys, as I asked them this question, they say, well, we don't know anything else. This is our only draft. Right. This is our only draft process. And for us, this is normal. Right. So even though this comes around, you know, every year for each player going through it, this is all they know. And it got me thinking about this because you and I talk about this a lot since this whole coronavirus started. We've talked about normalcy, and it really got me thinking because I keep hearing people say, I can't wait for things to go back to normal. I wish everything will go back to normal. And I just want to say, like, no way. Absolutely no way. I don't want normal. We talked about this 2 weeks ago when we first did our first episode back after a little bit of a break. I don't want to go back to a normal where God was pushed to the background and God was ignored. I don't want to go back to a normal where false idols were dominating our thoughts, dominating the conversation, and dominating our time. I don't want to really go back to a normal where people spend more time consuming entertainment and not really valuing the most important things in life, which should be faith and family. So for me, that normal, the normal that we had been going through, that normal stinks. Now I certainly want to go back to a normal. Of course I want to go back to a normal where we don't have a virus that's killing people. And I feel for every single person who has lost someone, for anyone who's sick and is going through this, I feel for you. But I definitely want that part of normalcy to return, right. You know, where we're not isolated, where we can come and go freely, where we don't have to worry about wearing masks, and we can interact with people, and we can really enjoy all of God's beautiful creation. But let's make a distinction between good normal and learning from what this time together should be teaching us. There's a lesson. We say this all the time. There's a lesson in every trial, every hardship. If you're not getting a lesson out of it, then you're not looking hard enough. And I hope that our new normal becomes spending more time with God, making Him a priority every single day, spending more quality time together as families, with our children, with our significant others, and appreciating all of the people we have taken for granted. Because all of these people who have been now proven to be the real essential workers in society, right. Doctors and nurses, healthcare providers, grocery store clerks, people who are stocking shelves, law enforcement, all of these people who are the real essential, everyone out on the front lines, those are the people we need to be appreciating. That's the new normal that I want to embrace.
I think we need to think of normal as this. What we know is what we think is normal. Is, you know what I mean? Like what we don't...
What we're comfortable with?
What we're comfortable with is what we know as normal. What we don't know is what we think of as abnormal or something that's different and we don't know. And as humans, we just like to be comfortable. We like what's normal. We like what we know. We don't like what we don't know. So this for us is very different. So we keep saying, I want to go back to normal. I want to go back to normal. Where if you go back in the Bible, where the Egyptians were trying to get out of slavery and go into the promised land.
Your people.
My people. Me. when they were in the desert, they were saying, let's go back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. Because what they knew as normal was slavery. Slavery was pretty awful, but they still wanted to go back to normal. Mm-hmm. But then what God was trying to do is say, no, I want to take you to the promised land. And the promised land is different, and they don't know anything about different, but it is better for you. So maybe what we should be saying is, let's look forward to something different and new, and not keep saying, let's go back to normal. Because back to normal is pretty, I don't know. It's very basic. Like, it's just what we know. But what if God has something for us that is pretty interesting and awesome?
There has to be something better.
And you know, if God had allowed something like this to shake us to this point, because He didn't send us virus, you have to understand that He didn't send us virus, but He obviously uses everything.
Yes.
Everything that happens on this earth to glorify Him. So what if He's using this to shake us, to shake the earth, to get the things that needs to get out of us, and also to sift us a little bit.
I firmly believe that.
Yeah, and what if He needs to sift things around us? Mm-hmm. And as you can tell, there's a lot of things have been exposed. A lot of plots that have been exposed, a lot of evil that have been exposed, a lot of things that have been exposed lately, and we just need to keep our eyes on Christ and what He's trying to do. Maybe He's trying to expose evil. Maybe He's trying to expose things that aren't supposed to be there. Maybe He's trying to keep us busy with the right things, like busy with family, like busy with what's good, busy with teaching our kids things that aren't just schoolwork, but busy teaching them about life.
You know what? Let me give
Christ.
An example, because you've become the homeschool teacher.
Mm-hmm.
First grade teacher. Mm-hmm. For the past few weeks.
Not proud, man. I'm not good at it.
You're hanging in there.
I'm hanging in there.
You are hanging in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm continuing with my busy life, working on all these draft stuff, and the draft is this weekend, and mm-hmm. all that stuff. But we have, I've kind of added like Bible schooling homeschool teacher too.
Yes.
And what I thought has been really awesome is, in the past week, the girls have learned three different verses.
Yeah.
And that's so cool to me, because even though that's something that we've done intermittently over the course, even when we were back in normal times,
right.
It's been more opportunity to do that now, because
right.
we're around each other 24/7. Mm-hmm. We have that one-on-one time with them. So as you're saying, what if this is what it's meant? I completely believe, like, this is, we cannot allow this time to pass without learning from our past mistakes.
We really have to, yeah.
We can't go back to craving normalcy. And I keep harping on this because I saw it. Mm-hmm. We lived through it. And even though it is, for me, a career, sports is a career. It is a profession,
mm-hmm.
right? I see it in sports. I see it in entertainment. I see it all around us. Our society became one where sports, entertainment, watching TV, watching games, watching movies,
right.
whatever it is that you're, all of that became false idols. And God was pushed to the background. God was ignored in so many instances mm-hmm. and in so many ways.
Yeah.
And now we look at it like, well, what is the most important thing? Now, as you're sitting home, is everybody who's listening to this broadcast and is sitting home or sitting wherever they are, maybe on your way to work and you're listening to the podcast, we haven't had sports in a month, over a month now.
Right.
This NFL draft is the only thing that is actually normal. It's still being conducted virtually, and who knows how it's going to go off and all of that stuff. There'll be some minor hiccups, but we haven't had sports, and people miss it like crazy.
Yeah, you got to check on your friends. Some of your friends, you got to check on your friends.
No,
you know?
No doubt.
Yeah.
But you survived, right?
I survived just fine.
Not you. I'm talking to, like, people yeah. have survived.
Yeah.
You've survived. Yeah. And how have you gotten through this?
Mm-hmm.
How have you been through it? What I'm saying is, it's not where everything else is unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
But what really, truly should be important in life,
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping has come through to the forefront. And that is faith and family. Faith and family. And putting your hope in Christ. Putting yeah. your trust in God. Making sure that you use this time to, man, we got to use this time, even, and as I talk about, we've had a little bit of time with our daughters and teens, we could do more.
Yeah.
We certainly could do more.
You know, like, dare I say, I've been loving this time at home with you and the girls more than anything else. Like, I've been loving it.
You feel bad to say it, right? I feel bad.
Because I hear everybody saying, like, online, I can't wait for them to go back to school. I can't wait for them to, like, go to work, blah, 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 blah. And I get that. I get the back to normalcy again. I get that. But it's strange for me. I'm actually loving this way too much. Like, I'm loving just being home with the girls, just getting up, having like our different routine than the rush, rush, rush everywhere. Like, you're just rushing to sports, rushing to car, the car rides to go to school, rushing to pick up, rushing to do. It's just such a rushed lifestyle that I think God was also sick of. I mean, I was sick of myself.
Say,
but
calm down.
Yeah, like, he put a stop to everything, and he just wants us to just loosen up a little about the way we're living, because we're putting so much pressure on ourselves and our kids to, like, live this crazy rushed lifestyle that is just not meant for us. We're meant to kind of rest a little in Christ and just be at his feet most of the time.
I love that. Rest in Christ.
Yeah, that's what we're meant to do, and not meant to just be rushing around all day long.
It just stinks that it took something this worldwide that had to kill so many people and allow so many people to go through suffering.
It has been
awful. And in no way are we saying, like, oh, we're happy that that... No,
oh gosh, no.
We hate that. We hate that that's happening. But you have to take what the enemy meant for evil,
mm-hmm,
right?
And turn it for
good.
And
God turns it mm-hmm. for good. And we have to find what is good, what can come out of that. So I challenge everyone out there who's listening, what will your new normal look like? Because if your new normal looks like the old, probably we didn't learn the lesson that we needed to learn.
We missed it.
We missed it.
Yeah.
And it took a global pandemic, and we let it go. So we have to really look at our new normal and appreciate faith and family. When we come back, you're going to hear from UCLA running back Joshua Kelly. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics A strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields. Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on social media. I am at Rob Motti on all platforms except Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Motti. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting once we're all able to get out there and gather again in groups. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. Our first guest on this episode is UCLA running back Joshua Kelly. Josh will be an asset for whichever team drafts him this weekend. Kelly played two seasons at UCLA after transferring. He became the eighth running back in UCLA history to have consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. He was voted the team MVP both years he played. Josh had 105 yards on 15 touches in the Senior Bowl. Very impressive performance. He ran a 4.49 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine. He's exactly the kind of player you would want on a team. Unselfish, positive influence in a locker room. I spoke to Josh before the draft. Here is that interview. Josh, before we get into the football part of our conversation, I got to ask you, on your Twitter bio, and everyone can follow you, by the way, at SmoothPlayJK on Twitter, you write, "Servant of the Lord, Jesus is coming, best be ready." Man, there's a lot right there in that statement. What does it mean to you, first off, to be a servant of the Lord? What does that mean?
Oh, yeah, man. It just means to follow God and everything you do, ultimately to glorify Him and obey and serve Him. That's pretty much what it means. You know, everything about that sentence, that's me. That's just me in a nutshell. So, yeah, that's what it means to be a servant, to glorify Him and obey Him.
How are you? How do you do that in your daily walk? How do you find yourself trying to do that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think for me, it's just, you know, getting up, praying, acknowledging how grateful I am, to, you know, be able to play football, to be alive, to breathe, to walk, just the little things. And then you just glorify God by using your gift and using your ability to work. And I think that's what it comes down to for me, playing football, just using that as a platform, as a way to just glorify God.
Oh, man, as believers, you and I know at some point Jesus is coming, and as you say, best be ready. How are you ready? How would you tell someone to be ready for the coming of Christ, whenever that may be?
Yes, exactly. I think the best way is definitely to be saved. First, acknowledge Christ as the center of your life and definitely get saved. And, you know, He saved us by grace. You know, Easter's coming up, which is great. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way you could be raised. Also, just stay in the book, stay in the law, man. And just treat others the way you want to be treated, man. Just live the daily life and keep praising God no matter what.
I love how you said keep Christ in the center. Because a lot of times, like athletes or other people, it's always cool to say God first, family, football, whatever it is. But I don't think it should be like an order. I think Christ should be in the middle of everything. You don't just go, okay, right? You know what I'm saying? Is that how you feel?
Exactly. That's how I feel. A lot of people, when they say, like, oh, God first, as you just mentioned, they try to always, I'm not trying to say they don't put Him first, but it's like, it should be the center. I think He should be the centerpiece, and everything you do in your life revolves around that center. That's what keeping Him first really means.
How did you come to know Christ, Josh? Did you grow up in a background in the church? You know, our faith is passed on to us, but then at some point it becomes our own. How did it happen for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in the church my entire life. I grew up in the church. But, you know, you know, kind of a lot of things went over my head. You know, I was just there because, you know, my mom told me to come.
Yeah.
But I didn't really make that decision for myself until she stopped. She, you know, she told me, like, you don't have to keep going no more. It's your choice if you want to serve God or not. Like, I laid the foundation for you. So I didn't really make that decision for myself to really, like, accept Christ into my life until I was, like, 13 years old. And I really made that decision.
What was there a moment, do you remember that moment where you were at church? Was something happening in your life when you made that decision?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when my mom told me you don't have to come to church no more, I was like, well, I was like, yeah, sounds great. So, man, I went a long time, like months.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's that moment where you start feeling, you know, dirty, you feel unclean, and you're just like, man, like, so many things is going on crazy. It's not just not being at church, but it's just not pursuing God, not living a righteous life. And,
right.
You know, you start to see that there's things in life that you just can't handle yourself. You have to look to God to handle it. So I think that's a point in my life where I was like, I have to make Christ the centerpiece for me.
Amen, man. Well, at this, like right now, what we're all going through with this global pandemic,
it's
affecting people in so many ways. Tell me how your faith helps you during this, because I keep talking about how my peace is in Christ. So whatever's going on around me, I still have that peace in the Lord. How's it helping you?
Right, same. You know, I just use this as a time to get closer with God. We're stuck in the house pretty much 24/7, so I'm using this time to just get right, continue to stay in the Word, continue to pray, to be grateful. And getting this time to prepare myself for Christ coming, you know, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just using that time, man, just being as efficient as possible. And it's just really just getting closer to God every single day.
Well, this is supposed to be a real exciting time in your life, right?
You're
getting ready for the NFL draft in a couple weeks, and you played really well. Had a great game in a Senior Bowl. You were impressive at the Combine. But everything changed, right? But you can't do the personal visits with the teams. What, going into this process, what were your expectations, and how has everything changed because of the shutdown?
Right. So, yeah, going into this process, my expectations was, you know, it was going to go by fast. It was going to be somewhat really, like, not painful, but, it was, you know, my body was going to be really taxed.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I just knew it was going to be a lot, whether it's interviews, whether it was just, you know, meeting coaches, going to find the facilities. I was like, all right, this is going to be a long 4 months, but it's going to go by fast. And since, you know, the whole virus going on, it's made things a lot more, slow down the process a lot. You know, you take calls from coaches and pretty much you have the rest of the day, you train, and that's it. You're not flying on the plane. You're not in the hotel where coaches can grab you and you're talking to them. So it's different. It's an extremely different process right now.
Now, you were able to, at least, some guys aren't in your position who didn't get invited to the Senior Bowl or the Combine, but you at least were able to meet with some teams, right? You were able to sit down and have some conversations, have some informal and formal visits, correct?
Yeah, yes, sir. Absolutely. Definitely. That's another thing that was really, that's wild going on right now. A lot of guys don't have a chance to, you know, showcase all the training, the hard work they put into. So, yeah, I definitely had a chance to do that, and I'm just really grateful I had a chance to meet with coaches and showcase myself.
Did you have actually formal visits during the Combine?
I had formal interviews, but no visits. Really,
right, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Formal interviews? Okay.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Well, I thought I saw the Cowboys and Rams were a couple of the teams. Did you do anyone else?
Those were the only two teams at the Combine, the formal interviews. Those were it. That was it.
Well, you ran a 4.49 40 at the Combine, and I heard on the NFL Network, I believe it was, Charles Davis compared you to Priest Holmes, and there was another analyst said, like, you're a guy to watch out for. How did you feel about your performance? And when you hear praise like that, what does that make you think?
Oh, yeah, man. I was proud of my performance. Never satisfied, though. There's obviously, there's a lot of things in my technique I could have done better in. I felt like, you know, with the drills and all, obviously proud of myself for all the hard work I've done, but there's only some things I can clean up on. And in terms of, you know, Charles Davis and a couple other guys giving me praise, it's humbling, man, because, you know, you watch guys like that growing up, and, you know, hear them talk about you, talk about past players who played in the league that were successful, yeah, man, it's humbling, though. But, you know, I got to work to fulfill that. So hopefully I can be as good as them.
What do you wish about this whole process could have been different? Like, what do you feel you're missing out on because of the virus shutting things down?
Oh, man, yeah. One thing I do sort of, you know, one thing I kind of really would like to do, I've done it, would probably visit facilities, you know, get to meet coaching staffs.
Yeah.
Everything. I think that process would have been really dope because I've been a fan of the NFL for so long. Mm-hmm. And get a chance to actually be in the facility and see actually what's going on. Oh, man, that would have been really cool.
What are you doing now differently? Like, I saw Molly posted a video of you. Like, I see a lot of guys now, their agents are posting videos. Like, what are you doing differently to showcase so people know you're, you know, what you're doing and how you're making yourself seen and known?
Yeah, definitely. For me, the most important thing is staying active. I have to stay in my training routine. That is the absolute most important thing. But for me, I've been working on my versatility this offseason. You know, whether that's really just catching a football or whether that's working on my route running ability. I'm really emphasizing that, so I'm still getting that done right now throughout this process. I'm just finding guys, all sorts of guys, you know, come throw me the ball. So, you know, I'm trying to do that differently. Also, conditioning is super important. And you gotta get in shape, man. Whatever it is, training camp, you have to come into shape.
Yeah, no doubt. So you're still able to do that. And are you meeting, are you having interviews virtually, like online, Zoom, or whatever, with different teams?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, that's... Yeah, definitely. We're still having those.
and when you guys are doing those with the various teams, what are those conversations like?
Yeah, it's a bunch of getting to know you, getting to know you and your background. And after that, you know, they're breaking down film, breaking down your college film. And then just pretty much going into it, like, do you know football? Mm-hmm. How's your IQ? Do you understand what's going on around you? Do you know what other people around you are doing? So it's a lot of mental aspect of it.
I don't even know that some teams do this. Like, I talk to a lot of different players across the league, a lot of men of strong faith. Have you had any opportunities to really dive into that or just talk about, like, when they ask you, like, what you're about or who you really are or what matters to you, have you been able to express that to any teams at all?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely, you know. They've been super respectful about it. You know, they tell me who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, three words to describe you. I don't know. I'm not going to shy away from our faith, man. Never do that.
Amen.
I'm always going to be bold. So I tell them exactly what type of man I am and how Christ has influenced me, my character, how I move about life. So I always express that to every team.
I know you're from California. You went to UCLA, which is had to be a dream for you, right? Wanting to go there.
Man. Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, man. It's crazy. It's kind of crazy because I've been thinking more about it since I graduated and I finished playing. But, mm-hmm. you know, I grew up in Lancaster, you know, Southern California area. So growing up over there, man, there's always two schools in the whole neighborhood. Everybody would rep, you know, UCLA and USC. So that's huge, man. I got a chance to do that. So. It was great, man. I had a special time here playing football, going to class. It's no joke, man. So I have a lot of memories that you should.
Well, and then the Rams met with you at the combine, and we know they just released Todd Gurley. So is that a team that maybe you're hoping, like, hey, I want to stay out here. I want to play for the Rams?
Oh, man. You know, I think for me, you know, obviously it'd be special to play in your hometown. But I think for me, you know, any team that gives me a chance, that'd be dope. You know, I'm always ready to just see the challenge ahead and just play for any of the teams.
I covered Chip Kelly's 3 years, Josh, in Philly, and when he coached the Eagles, you played for him. He gave you the scholarship, right? Because you were a walk-on.
Yeah.
And yes, he gave you a scholarship. Tell me, what did you learn? Because Chip's an interesting guy. He's a different kind of guy. But what did you learn from him?
Yeah, man, Coach Kelly's great. He's awesome. One thing I definitely learned from him is pretty much he told me my habits, you know, the habits you pretty much prescribe yourself, the habits that you're with daily, those reflect your overall mission. Mm-hmm. And that's something I really, really took home from him. He talked about, like, you have to make sure that your habits, whatever it is you do on a daily basis, has to reflect your overall plan in life. And that's something that I was really, like, stuck about, because he always brought up habits all the time. But, you know, it's true. You know, if you want to be an NFL Hall of Famer, what are your habits like? Are you studying the game? Are you training? Are you working to improve yourself? With anything, you know, business, are you studying how everything works, investment, marketing? So it's so true, man. What are your habits?
Well, he always talked about making guys better men. Did you kind of felt that, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He brought in tons of motivational speakers. You know, he brought in so many powerful people to talk to us. He's always talked about how to be better as a man, because it's crazy how football and, like, manhood really correlate. It's crazy. So,
yeah.
You know, he definitely emphasized that.
Well, Josh, man, I'm looking forward to seeing how it works out for you with the draft. What would you tell a team? You know, if I was one of the teams on the opposite end of that Zoom call, what kind of guy are we getting? What kind of play? Oh, what kind of person and what kind of player?
Oh yeah, the person you're gonna get, a God-fearing man who loves Christ, whose ultimate goal is to serve Christ. You're gonna get a man who's positive, who's goofy, who loves the game of football, is gonna be energetic every single day. As a football player, I'm consistent. Every single game, you know, going to get from me. I'm a red heart, fall for it. I'm going to have great ball security. I'm going to make sure I run through guys, man. I will stay ahead of the chains. I'll block. I'm going to catch. I will be consistent every single time. You know, I'm going to just play hard, man. I'm going to outwork everybody else. That's what's got me to this point.
Well, man, I really appreciate you spending some time with me. I know it's a busy time for you. I can't wait to see what your future holds for you. Thank you for doing this, and thank you for using the platform you have, man, to share Christ to everybody. God bless you, brother.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, man. This is awesome, man. God first. Let's keep going.
Amen. That was UCLA running back Joshua Kelly. Up next, you'll hear from Tulane wide receiver Darnell Mooney. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti. Our second guest is Tulane wide receiver Darnell Mooney. Darnell played 4 seasons in college. He had 154 catches and 19 touchdowns, averaged 16.7 yards per reception. He is definitely a big-time playmaker. Darnell ran a 4.38 40 at the NFL Combine. Like I said about Joshua Kelly, Darnell's another kid who will be an absolutely terrific addition to any team in the NFL. He'll be a welcome player in that locker room, a positive influence. I spoke to Darnell before the draft. Here is that interview. Darnell, you say on Twitter, there's some things he's done for me that the Bible don't preach. Man, that is a powerful, strong statement. Can you tell me what that means to you?
I mean, it's just like you know how you, like, try to go search for things in the Bible just to find, like, have a path.
Uh-huh.
It's just some things that I've talked to him about. And it's just I haven't seen wording for it in a scripture or whatnot. But it's just something like in my eyes that I've seen and have in my testimony that I've been able to, you know, experience.
Tell me about that. Tell me a little bit about your testimony and how you came to know the Lord.
At a young age, it was my grandma kind of put me in a church. It started me, myself, just believing more when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Just having I was going to church by myself. So I would just wake up every morning. I don't know why. I would just be here, wake up, and like, I want to go to church.
Wow.
And then just being able to just to see everyone's story and trying to figure out my own as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time I was just lost in space of just, I didn't know what my path was, what I wanted to do in life, where my next move was. And then continued to like sweat and grind. And then along the way, he showed me my path. And it doesn't matter like what I want to do. Life is like the best thing that he has given me. So whatever he wants me to do, just share my testimony if it can help others. You know, just being able just to guide others, not just get myself and my own family in line with like a successful life, but guiding others in that situation as well.
Well, I know you had to go through a lot, man, in high school when you lose your dad, right? In high school. And for some people, an experience like that, losing a parent, can make them turn angry, bitter, sour. But it sounds like to me, you know, you matured, you grew from that, and I know you've kind of took on like a responsibility in helping with your mom and in the house. So how did you rely on your faith during that time?
That's exactly a part of my testimony of just like when it all started. That around the area, I was like, all right, just got the picture in my head. All right, you just got to step up, just be a man. It's time to mature, get way more mature than you are now. And I've learned from the death. It wasn't like I was sad or mad about it. It was just like searching for like a goal. What can I get out of this? And then without that happening, I probably wouldn't be the person I am today.
Wow. And now, you know, I always feel like circumstances prepare us for what's happening in our lives going forward. And you and all of the other players who are draft hopefuls now are in a very unique situation, because we've never gone through anything like this before, where basically the country shut down. Now, I know you had an opportunity to be at the combine, but you haven't been able to do visits with teams and any of that stuff. What was this experience? What has this experience been like for you?
It's been pretty smooth. I mean, I'm a at home guy, so I mean, this is kind of normal to me. Mm-hmm. But I go outside, get a little run in, get some exercise, work out a little bit, and then I'm back in the house. So I mean, it's not a big thing for me because I'm always in the house. But with teams, I've talked to a few teams with like FaceTime, Skype calls, and all that. But I'm fine in the head. I'm fine mentally. But I don't know what the. I never got to experience the right way to do it. So I mean, this feels like a little bit of normal to me. This is my first go around.
Do you feel like you're missing out? Like, I talked to some of the younger guys. They're like, you know, one guy was like, man, I just wanted to be able to travel and see different cities and different facilities, or I wanted to be able to just get on their field and stuff like that. Do you feel like maybe you missed out a little bit?
Eventually I will be able to get on one of those fields.
nice.
I'm not too big of like the scenery of all that. I'm just ready to see where my next home is, and whatever that is, I'll make the best of it.
Now, you ran a 4.38 40 at the combine, which I know a lot of people took notice of. What was that experience like for you, being at the combine and being able, you know, it's kind of like a respect thing that you get invited to it and you're able to showcase your talents there. Some guys didn't get a chance to do that. Then their pro days were canceled and they're in a different situation. At least you had the experience of the combine. What was that whole thing like for you?
It was a great experience. Not everybody can say that they went to the combine in their lifespan. But I was happy to be there. Like you said, it's a respect thing. Just coming from a smaller school, and not many people know who you are. And then just going out there just to showcase my ability, showcase the talent that I was given, and just being able to, you know, give back to what give back to God of like just showcasing what He has given me. That's what I do with all my life. Anything that I do, my talent, I have another quote on my Instagram. It's like my talent from God is It's his gift to me, and my gift back to him is just to showcase it at the best of my ability.
I love that, man. That's so true. Tell me about that small school, because you went to Tulane, and you were able to play there and give people an opportunity. They get to see your game film. They get to see the speed. It's obviously tremendous speed. What did you learn, aside from football, at Tulane to prepare you for what you're going to get through and what you're going to have to deal with next and your journey going forward in the NFL?
Just learning that everybody has their own story, and it's up to you to write your own. Because from the bottom, you're like a nobody. You're trying to show exactly what you have, what you bring to the table. So just starting all the way over from freshman year, when I get into the lead, I'm just having to prove myself again, which I don't have a problem with at all. But just earning the respect of others, and just networking as well. Talking to other guys, seeing what their mentality is like, what they have knowledge-wise that you don't have, and just gaining knowledge.
Now, I've seen – this is a draft, Darnell, that's loaded at that position at wide receiver. And I've seen some reports that say you're one of the more underrated receivers, that you're going to be a steal for any team that gets you. And then I've seen other reports that are concerned with your hands and your size. What do you say to, one, those who put you in that category of a draft steal? How does that make you feel, that kind of praise? And then secondarily, how do you feel about, you know, the hands and the knocks against the hands, the size?
I'm honored to have guys that's on my that's backing me up with that. But I feel like I'm still as well, unless I'm getting drafted in the second round or whatever. But
right.
With the hands and size, I feel like I have great hands. There's times that I've when the ball is thrown to me, I try to catch it and run just because I'm eager just to get the ball. And just it's probably a time of the game that I wasn't getting the ball a lot, and I knew the ball was coming to me having this play, and I was just trying to make something happen faster because we were winning at the time or so, and just concentrate more, focusing on the ball. But I believe in my hands. Sometimes I believe in them too much. Sometimes I should catch it with my body, just so I can get the defender not a way to even touch the ball. But with my size, I don't think that's a problem at all. I mean, people have like critique big people sometimes about what they can do. Everybody's always gonna have something to say. I play the best. I feel like I'm the best receiver on the field, regardless if whoever's out there, regardless of size. I mean, I feel like I can play inside, outside. I can go block somebody. Not afraid to block somebody. I don't care who you are. But I'm pretty faithful in all of my ability.
I covered DeSean Jackson's career with the Eagles, and he's probably one of the smaller guys. I don't care what they list him at. He's smaller than whatever they list him at, and he's had a very successful career. Obviously, his speed last year was difficult for him because he was injured, but his speed's still there, man. Is he one of the guys, or are there others that you've kind of, like, you look at and model your game after?
No, not really DeSean. Probably because he's just at a different position than me, but Adam Thielen and Jarvis Landry are guys that I love to watch. They have great route running ability, and I love a route technician. And Jarvis Landry, he's pretty aggressive, and I want that in my game as well.
You said you're comfortable playing anywhere, inside, outside, slot guy, right?
Yeah.
Does it matter? Have you had those conversations with teams where they express whether it's concerns or comfort knowing that you can versatility? You know, where they want you?
Well, I've never, like, nobody has ever said anything about it. Like, well, I know, like, two teams, like Tampa Bay and the Bears have said something about it, but other teams, they just ask me, do I have a preference? And I'm like, no, I feel comfortable anywhere, nowhere on the field I have a problem with. But yeah, that's about it.
What would you say sets you apart from someone else? Whether it's not necessarily it on the field, but maybe, you know, a young guy who's really had to go through a lot, so you've got that maturity. Maybe teams aren't going to have to worry about you being an off the field character issue kind of guy. What would you say sets you apart?
Just my mentality of just wanting to be a playmaker on the field. I mean, I'm not selfish. I want everybody to be successful regardless of what's going on, and just want to help out in life as well. Like, it doesn't have to be just about football. If anything's going on in your life, you can talk to me, can have a conversation. I mean, I've been through a lot, so I mean, I can probably steer you in the right direction. But other than that, being dangerous every time I touch the ball. I mean, it's going to be a gasp every time I touch the ball. My presence is going to be well known wherever I am on the field, and bringing in some great playmaking ability.
Well, Darnell, I know when the draft's over with and you guys are going to get started, it's going to be a little different for everybody, because yesterday the NFL and the Players Association approved where they're going to start with virtual workouts. So being that, you know, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer before you actually, you know, put that jersey on or that hat on and go into the building. But what are you doing? Like, how are you staying in shape? How are you working out? What are you doing and making sure that, you know, that time happens, that time comes, I'll be ready for it.
Okay, so here's my daily routine. Mm-hmm. In the morning, get up at like 8, go run with my dog, get her some exercise. After that, I get me about 4 miles in, and I'll come back, get some lunch, chill out for a few, play video games, and then about like 3-4 o'clock, go do some drills, like football, positional drills, and then
You doing those outdoors, like at a park somewhere?
Yeah, outdoors.
Okay.
If every other day, that's what I would do. But say the next day, I would get a run as well, and then I would do like weights and abs and any core thing that would help me out.
Awesome. Well, man, it sounds like you're ready to go. I appreciate you spending some time with us, and I wish you the best of luck and a ton of blessings, man, in your NFL career.
Thank you.
That was Tulane wide receiver Darnell Mooney. Thank you to Joshua Kelly and Darnell Mooney for being our guest this week. Thank you to all of our listeners and our followers. Huge thanks to Doug Horton for handling our business side, and big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work he does on our website, podcast, and blog. Thank you to Jim Henderson for his work behind the scenes. Thank you to our producer, Ryan Lennox. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.